Hello, guys, and it's time to continue playing that game, and that game is called Podcast Catch Up. If this is your first episode, or you've listened to all my other episodes and love to hear me repeat myself as I often do, I am Joshua Lappin Bertoni, and this is the Marvel Star Wars podcast, covering the Marvel Comics Star Wars series issue by issue. Started out as a blog project after a failed YouTube attempt, and the blog is currently a few issues ahead of the podcast, and, well, I've been trying to catch up with the podcast by releasing a few episodes of the podcast per week. That way I could eventually catch up to the blog, which is also rapidly falling behind. And the issue that we are on is Day of the Dragon Lords, which is issue 13, and it has a great John Byrne and Terry Austin cover of Chewbacca, basically choking 3PO in one hand and batting aside Luke in another, with 3PO saying, "Master Luke, this time we don't dare let the Wookiee win." And the blurb is, friend against friend, on a star-lost world, deadly reunion. Love the cover. 3PO's line is funny, but basically, because all they have to go on is the movie, which I keep on having to remind myself, the references that they make to lines or moments from the movies over and over again is starting to get ridiculous, but oh well. When we last left things, Luke was on the Drexel system. It's a water planet. He crash-landed there with the droids while looking for a new rebel base, and he's the prisoner of their governor. So, he's trying to keep their evil Governor Quark from executing him and scrapping the droids, because that's Quark's policy for all the outsiders. He's able to buy some time by saying that R2 can repair one of the skimmers, and that would prove his worth and the droid's worth. The skimmer is not in the best of shape, and R2 has to do a rush job, but to prove that his worth, Luke is going to have to test the skimmer as a pilot. And that will also prove that, you know, he could be a pilot in their little war. So, speaking of this war that Quark is in, we met some dragon riders about an issue or two ago. Quark goes into detail a little bit about the war that his men have with the dragon riders. And, like I said, he says that if Luke can prove himself as a pilot, then he's going to be a valuable asset in this war. Luke isn't sure how well the test is going to go, though, because, as I said, R2 was 3PO were rust repairing this thing, and even if they hadn't been rushed, these guys weren't exactly taking the best care of their machines. So, R2 and 3PO watch as Luke goes off to test the skimmer. "Well, at least you got that much right, R2, but frankly, I feel your resetting of the laser cannon feed system was done far too swiftly and whoop whoop boop beep! Name calling doesn't make it any less true." Yeah, good droid banter, classic by Goodwin. I'm wondering what R2 said. Now, as for the illustrations, 3PO's butt is very, very, by Carmine Infantino, who did the illustrations for this issue, as he did for a lot of these early issues. Yeah, 3PO's butt, very, very detailed. Otherwise, the droids, I don't know. I still have a problem with the way that a lot of the early comic artists did the droids. Well, the test run's going well until a stowaway makes his presence known to Luke. This Charles Manson reject who goes behind Luke, kind of chokeshold him while Luke's driving the skimmer. "Then you'll be dead, boy, and I won't have to worry about some bare-faced off-worlder and a couple of mechanicals replacing me as Master Machine Sniff." So Luke is able to overpower this guy and knock him off of the skimmer while avoiding totally losing the skimmer in a crash. That "you'll be dead" thing reminds me of one of my favorite lines from the first Star Wars movie when Luke's like, "I'll be careful, you'll be dead." I just love that whole exchange. Well, Quark is impressed with Luke's skills and tells him he has the job as their mechanic now. And Luke is like, "Yeah, I'm not really out to take anyone's job," which I could see why Luke would feel that way, especially since somebody tried to murder him when he thought that that was just what Luke was trying to do. Luke says that he just wants to fix the ship and go off planet with his droids. While this conversation's going on, we see R2 and 3PO in an oil bath. And the oil bath is, there's two wheelbarrows, I guess wood, Well, yeah, we see wood in Star Wars, what am I saying? But we don't see a lot of it. But yeah, wooden wheelbarrows and 3PO's in one and R2's in another one. 3PO still illustrated a little oddly. I find this funny because years later, but of course, this was one of the earlier stories I read when I was a kid. Archie Goodwin did a story for the Star Wars newspaper strip, which I read in the reprint of Classic Star Wars, where the rebels visit a water planet, and R2 and 3PO also take an oil bath there. So, and it's more like a traditional Earth bathtub there, and they're playing in it like children would. So that's just kind of funny that whenever Archie Goodwin does a story of, the droids on a water planet, they're always taking an oil bath. Huh. Gorg does not necessarily agree with Luke's eagerness to leave, so he decides to show him something. He takes him to the deck of the boat, and you see on one of the, oh, I forget what those things are called on the ships, but the upper levels of the deck. There's a guy hanging, and in case you can't quite understand what's going on, it's spelled out for us in the dialogue. There, Skywalker, the most basic lesson of all, the price of not pleasing your governor. That's the Master Machinesmith, the man who attacked me. How can Luke tell from so far away? 'Cause it is pretty far away. The act of a desperate fool who sensed his usefulness was at an end. He was wrong. He's actually quite useful now, as a warning to others. And then Luke thinks in his head, that pudgy madman doesn't have a voice like Darth Vader, but his heart's sure in the same place. Gotta keep my temper, appear to go along with him, until I can find some way to escape with the droids. You're silent, boy. Impressed, I take it. I'm breaking a rule to let you survive. I don't want any betrayals. Dang, that was cold. But the comparisons to Darth Vader, Luke, I swear, these early issues are always having people making random callbacks to the movie, like last issue when Luke's like, "Hey, that's just like my lance beater!" Luke hasn't heard Darth Vader's voice at this point, and he knows very little about Darth Vader's heart, other than that he killed Obi-Wan Kenobi and supposedly his own father. I'm not even sure if Luke is aware at this point that it was Darth Vader's TIE fighter that was chasing him and murdering his friends in the Death Star Trench. Korg then tells the story of his pirate father and how he came to Drexel because of the jamming device, and it's a convoluted story that, to tell you the truth, it kind of bored me. It is notable because according to Wikipedia, it's the first appearance in any media of Old Republic Jedi Knights, so yeah, we do see some wounded Old Republic Jedi Knight with his lightsaber being stolen. But nevertheless, Korg's father and a band of, pirates, they crash land on Drexel, they use a machine, and there's a machine there that can jam the frequencies of other ships, lure the ships in, and scrap the metal. So Korg talks about how his father settled on Drexel, there was an attempted mutiny by his mechanic, so he sent the mechanic out to die. The mechanic and his supporters returned, having discovered that they can manipulate sonic sounds to control the dragons. So then Korg further explains to Luke that Luke's not going to be leaving anytime soon because he's needed for war. Just then, one of Korg's men informs him of a large approaching craft. Luke and Korg go to the control room where Luke realizes that they are still using the machine to disrupt ships to bring them down and scrap their metal. And then Luke realizes, duh, that's how Luke crashed here a few issues ago. The approaching ship is none other than Crimson Jack's Star Destroyer, which still has the four shield towers. Korg is delighted because he's like, oh my gosh, this is going to be enough metal to last a lifetime! Aboard the Star Destroyer, Crimson Jack is still not convinced that Han is telling the truth about there being a rebel treasure on this water planet. Just as soon as your little helper Jolly brings Princess Leia here to the bridge, everything will be explained, Han's saying. And he's thinking, which buys me 3 more minutes to think of something if Jack doesn't run out of patience before then. And we get a tense elevator ride from the detention level between Jolly and Princess Leia. I think that high and mighty Han Solo is about to learn that all his charm and smooth talk won't help him much longer. Jolly, have you ever considered that sometimes when we seem to hate someone, it's to hide the fact that we're really attracted to them? What? The only thing I'm considering is using this blaster if you keep talking like that. Now move. Captain Jack doesn't want the orbit some ball of water forever waiting around. We're in orbit? Then he shouldn't have to wait far too long. I wonder if Leia is speaking from experience here. Maybe she's more aware of her feelings for Han Solo at this early stage than we previously thought. Well, Korg's jamming device begins to pull the Star Destroyer into orbit, which throws everything into confusion. And Han and Chewie, they use this opportunity to make a getaway. Chewie very, very bulkily illustrated. another weakness of Infantino, but his Chewie is starting to grow on me. So Han and Chewie are running away. Jack and his lads are going to be pretty busy, Chewie. I suggest we get out of their way as far as the Millennium Falcon can take us. The princess? Yeah, well, I suppose we'll have to pull her feathers out of the fire as usual. Let's hope this weird attack hasn't left her wandering in hysterics. As Leia shows up behind them with two blasters, only as far as some unconscious guards, in case someone else forgot to grab weapons. But of course, I suspected something was going to happen and was prepared to ditch Dolly when it did. Now, let us get to your ship fast. If you have any questions, I'll explain along the way. You know, Chewie, I think I'd prefer hysterics. You have to love Leia taking charge of these rescue and escape operations. This is one of my favorite depictions of her character, you know, far from the usual screaming damsel in distress that some of the early expanded universe stories like the newspaper strip and a few of the novels used. Infantino, like I said, still getting a feel for drawing Chewie. By the way, Leia's like, oh, I expected something to happen when I was going to escape Jolly. You know what? You, Leia, you had no way of knowing about that jamming device. You're lucky, because your plan just to go to Drexel and see what would happen was a very, very, very bad plan. You're just lucky that it paid off, so don't go all high and mighty, you know, princess. So, Korg is furious that the Star Destroyer has not been brought down yet, which reminds me of that level in the Force Unleashed video game, where it's impossible to bring that destroyer down. He accuses the operator of treason, which rightfully makes the operator almost pee his pants because we know what Korg does about treason. Thankfully for the operator, things are interrupted when Korg is informed that the Dragon Riders are attacking, and we get a really, really beautiful Carmine Infantino, panel where the dragons are approaching in either the setting or rising sun against the water, and there's a guy on one of the upper decks of the... It's a pirate ship, let's be real. It's a pirate ship, but it's not supposed to be, but the guy who's even saying, "Dragons! A whole blotted army of them! It's a full-scale attack!" He's dressed like a pirate with his shirt off and everything. Like I said in all the other podcasts, StarWarsMarvel.com, you can see these pictures that I'm talking about here. I mean, I'm not going to do an enhanced AAC, so you might as well check the blog, see some of these good pictures. Luke is sent on the skimmer to fight with the rest of Korg's men. The Millennium Falcon, having just escaped Jack's ship, arrives, and this makes the situation get even more confusing. The jamming device forces the Falcon to have to land, though. Han decides that it might be easier to appeal to the skimmers, reasoning that they might be easier to win over than the Dragon Riders. Well, Han was wrong, because the skimmers are following Korg's policy to open fire on the intruders, which would be Han and the Falcon. Luke sees this happening and is furious and blasts the skimmer that had just attacked the Falcon. He then searches where the Falcon was for survivors. He sees one come out of the water, Chewbacca, who knows that a skimmer shot at Han, sees Luke in a skimmer, grabs him by the neck, and pulls him under water. Well, but as he's pulling him underwater, they get blasted by another skimmer that saw Luke's little act of treason. Interestingly enough, the panel says Wookiees are not sophisticated. Someone in a skimmer tried to kill him, so anyone in a skimmer is suspect. It would take someone Chewie trusts, such as Han Solo, to calm him down. But Han Solo is missing now. Wookiees not being sophisticated creatures. I'm pretty sure that later changes, based on all the technology and government and stuff that we've seen Wookiees do later on. I mean, if you saw A New Hope and just had to base Wookiees off of that, which is what Marvel did, you would think that Wookiees were just ferocious dogs, almost. As a result of Luke shooting the other skimmer, he's locked up for treason with a very angry cellmate. So let's do this last page together before closing out the issue. Luke is waking up, and he says he's slowly coming to. He sees 3PO. "Obviously don't understand. We're all prisoners of Governor Korg now, being held here until he has time to deal with us, being mutually doomed. It hardly seems reasonable to quarrel amongst ourselves." 3PO? As Luke sees Chewbacca grabbing him. "Master Luke, I've been trying to explain to the shaggy brute that he's somewhat misjudging you in the situation, because at this rate, it doesn't seem we'll survive long enough to have our death sentences carried out." As Chewie swings 3PO, as like the cover, and charges towards Luke. The way, Chewie's size here compared to 3PO, Chewie's like 4 times 3PO's size here. There's definitely some scale off. So, that's the scene from the cover, and it turns out that all the cover does is spoil the cliffhanger. Maybe that cover would have been suited better for next issue. I'm loving Archie Goodwin's writing. He gets the banter between the droids and between Han and Leia down good. Carmen Infantino is doing some great stuff this issue. The revelation of the Hum mechanic was done very well. The splash page of the approaching Dragon Riders was also memorable. His Luke is inconsistent, but hey, that's a weakness of all the early Star Wars writers, just like in the droids, right? Still a fun issue, though, but at this point, you know, I'm just ready for the arc to be over. Let's us end the arc later. Join us in the next issue, which is called Call It Armageddon.